Hey everyone, it's Jason Shadrick with PremierGuitar.com, and we are backstage or on stage at the House of Blues in Chicago with Paul Gilbert, and he's going to take us through the rig that he's using on the Mr. Big summer tour. So Paul, thanks a lot for taking the time to talk to us.
You're welcome. Thanks for coming down to Chicago.
So first, let's start with your guitar. Tell us a little bit about your signature guitar here.
Well, this is the very first official Fireman off the, well, the new Fireman out of the factory. This is the factory sample that I've officially approved. And I love it. It's got a set neck, and I worked long and hard to get the right neck shape and neck joint, because in all the guitar research I've done recently, it seems like that's where a lot of the tone of the guitar comes from. Mm-hmm. Especially on the higher strings somehow, for soloing. Mm-hmm. We're getting a nice sustain on the B string, which I've come to believe is the best sounding string for any single note. The B string sounds really good if you've got a nice thick neck and a nice thick neck joint. But then again, you got to be able to play the thing, so you don't want it so thick that you can't play it. And that's what I've been sort of going back and forth between, you know, balancing the baseball bat neck with tone. And I think I've found the perfect balance of that with this guitar.
So it's a rather thick neck?
It's thicker than most Ibanezes, because Ibanezes tend to be, you know, thin to make it more easy to play. This is a little more, got a little more wood to it, but to me it's still super easy to play. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, you can try it. You can tell me if it's easy for you to play too. But it's relatively thick, but it's actually the early prototypes I had were ridiculously thick. I sort of started on the extreme end of things, mm-hmm. and I've gone a little bit more to the middle thick rather than insane thick.
And then what kind of pickups do we have here? DiMarzios, I see.
DiMarzio injectors, or at least the outside ones are. The middle one's an Area 67. And they're obviously, they look like single coils, but they don't hum, which is nice. So they're hum canceling, but they have a single coil character, which has really introduced me for the first time to the use of a tone knob. Because, you know, on a humbucker guitar, I'd never really used a tone control before. And this...
Usually all the way up?
Yes, usually just all the way up. And with this, a lot of times I'll put it down somewhere between 5 and 3 if I want to thicken up the sound a little bit. And if I turn it all the way up, it's a little bit more, you know, it's a little more snarly. So it's nice to have that ability to go into the snarly territory, but it's also cool to be able to roll back and get a little more warm, humbucker-ish kind of sound.
Right. And I noticed your bridge pickup is the height of it is really high, close to the strings.
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of a, you know, standard heavy metal adjustment. If anything, the thing that I do that's odd is I'd make the middle one really low.
Oh, okay.
Because that's where I pick.
Yeah.
And so if it comes up too much, my pick starts getting in the way of it, and there's a fight. So the middle one tends to go low, and the other two go fairly high. And
what type of strings are you using on this?
I wimped out. The whole tour, I was using 11s. We had a two-week break, and I didn't play during the 2 weeks, so my calluses went away. So I'm using 10s again, at least for the time being. And these are Ernie Balls. They're RPS strings, which I think means reinforced something.
Steel.
Yeah. So these are, this is nice for a non-trem guitar that you have a lot less. Basically, I've had no breakage the whole tour, you know, with this extra wrapping on there. So... any other things on this that are cool? It's made of mahogany. It's kind of, everything is backwards on this guitar because, you know, it's basically an Iceman reversed. I've got, you know, the same controls as a Telecaster, but reversed. I've got the volume here and the tone here.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's a long story about why I do that. But basically, you know, I like doing the Pete Townsend, you know, arm in the air thing.
Uh-huh.
And then when I come down, I like the first thing that I touch to be the volume, because that's sort of the most important high priority knob, and anything else in there is, you know, details. And it's actually a brand new bridge that Ibanez designed that everything locks down super tight, so you know, obviously you can loosen it up and adjust it, but once it's adjusted, nothing will ever move. And I just maybe the one thing that I didn't expect when I designed this, because I you know, designed the upside downness of it, is that this, when you're sitting down, the notes go right into your heart.
Oh.
It's a little, takes a little getting used to, actually, this body shape, because it's, I mean, they contoured it, so it's really comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But it does touch you in ways that other guitars don't. And I love it. I mean, to me, my hearing's going, so I like to feel the notes.
Mm-hmm.
And this guitar is great for that. It's really a joy to both play on stage and practice with, because just those notes are going directly into me heart.
All right, so from out of your guitar, using a wireless unit on this tour.
I am.
So what wireless unit are you using?
It's a Sennheiser. I really had good luck with the Sennheisers. And I actually Velcroed the receiver unit to my homemade pedal board. And from there, it goes into the Boss Tuner. From there, into a Boss Compressor. And that, I basically only use it for one song. I use it for Just Take My Heart. And which gives me, you know, normally this is my just straight, unaffected signal. But if I turn on the single coil, like, you know, combine these two together and put this on, it's super sparkly and clean with the chorus. So it's nice to be able to clean up with that. Then we get the Airplane Flanger, which I basically have set, like the big knob on there is set to go crazy pretty much all the time. But I set the normal side to go crazy too. So this turns it on, and then this will toggle between the two crazies. So it'll be like, and that's, you know, I don't have a whammy bar, so that sort of gives me my whammy outlet there. Then I've got an MXR Phase 90. There's a bunch of different Phase 90s, and I love them all, but this one is the script one with the LED, and I use it on almost every solo I do. It's, you know, it's very Van Halen one, and it has that, you know. A subtle, and I don't know if you can, did I even have it on? Did I forget to turn it on? There it is. I heard it that time. Just a subtle change. It sort of inspires me a little bit when I play a solo. And it's nice because at the top end, it gets treblier, and the picking attack is a little bit easier. So I get this little bonus of picking ease every time it comes around. Then I have the Fuzz Universe, which is, wait a minute, actually before that happens, it goes here to my splitter. And the reason I did this is kind of crazy, is one side just goes back to the pedals and to the amp as normal, but the other side goes to this CPR compressor and to a DI to Eric's monitors. Because he likes to hear a clean guitar. It's easier for him to sing in tune without hearing all the distortion. So he gets like totally John Denver clean. You know, in his headphones, and that's where that goes. And I've got a compressor on it because that's sort of, you know, with electric guitar, it sort of keeps the gain even. Then, so that's off to Eric, but back to me, is the Fuzz Universe, which has two sides to it. They're both distortion, or you know, little ones. This one's sort of like a lot of gain. You know, just. I've got it set relatively subtly because there's such a wide variety of stuff in the Mr. Big songs where, you know, sometimes I've got to have, you know, a whole lot, and that I'll actually use my giant foot and hit both of them for like Daddy Brother. But then if I just want, you know, something like Take Cover, I'll do. You know, a little more U2 edgy. And then this is sort of the wild card spot. I've had about three different pedals in here. Just every day I Velcro something new in there. Today it's the Green Rhino by Way Huge, which I really have only used in rehearsal for about 15 minutes. So it's just an experiment today, but it sounds good so far. It's got a lot of sort of crazy bass knob on it, which is fun for the more single coily sounds because it'll thicken that up. And then the last one is a chorus. By what's it called? It's a Choral Flange by Full Tone, and this is just a real nice, you know, sort of that Alex Lifeson-y swirly kind of thing. All right, so that's the electric, and let me just play a little bit for you, because. Okay. You have to pay for that, or should I? Okay, I'll play it. But anyway, so. You know, from there, maybe I would. That's a little trebly for me, so maybe I'll turn the tone down a little bit, and then and turn the phase shifter on with it. Yeah. a coily cable. I love having a coily cable. So that goes into the acoustic. A tuner. And it's nice having a tuner because you can also use that as a mute.
Yeah.
And a compressor, because it's especially for, you know, obviously an acoustic is a clean sound. So it makes it a lot easier to do the, you know, if I do like a single string solo thing, which I do at one point, it brings that up to the same level as the big strummy chords. And I brought my own DI, but for some reason our sound engineer is scorning it and using her own.
So this is your acoustic for this tour, and it's a Taylor 710, you said?
I think it's a 710. I don't know. It's probably written in there, but it's covered up by the feedback buster. And it busts feedback pretty well on its own, but we're really pretty blasting loud on stage, so it just to make sure it doesn't start woofing away. I think I muted out there, but you can hear it through the microphone. But it's acoustic for me has always been a challenge because it's got big, huge strings and not a lot of sustain compared to, you know, a cranked up electric through three fuzz pedals. So it's nice to have. This is a nice compromise. It's got pretty low action, relatively easy to play, but still big, huge chords on it. And it smells good, too.
So we have Marshall amps here. So tell us a little bit about the ones you're using.
All right. Well, for a long time, I've been using the Vintage Moderns. And just on a lark at rehearsal, I brought out my little 2061X. And it sounded really cool. And plus, it looks so cool. So I've been using that lately just for fun. And it's basically cranked all the way up. Into both cabinets, and I put a little patch cable between to bridge the two channels, which gives it a little more, slightly more overdrive. And I've got the volumes on 10 and the tones on about 6, and this power switch on. And what more do you need? And I love that little thing. I've had really good luck with it. It really doesn't distort that much, but if you have all those pedals, you can take it anywhere. It's a good basic. What do you call that? It's a nice blank slate of tone on which to paint.
And so tell me about your settings here. I noticed you have the bass setting on this one all the way up.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm trying to remember what I usually use in this. When I do use this, it's kind of different every day depending on the room. The thing I do like about the Vintage Moderns is they do have a lot of really good low end, which for the single coily type pickups is really, really matches up nice. And and the bass on this amp is not very woofy, so you can actually get away with turning the bass all the way up, and it's still, you know, it still keeps the low end together. But the thing that's probably the most unique about the amp is it's got the detail and body knobs, which are basically both preamp knobs, and maybe, you know, if you, it probably says this in the instruction manual, but one is sort of a trebly preamp knob and one is sort of a bassy preamp knob, so you can almost EQ the amp just with those two. Mm-hmm. and then just fine tune it with the other ones. Mm-hmm. So in a way it almost has two bass knobs. It's got your bass EQ and it's got your bass, you know, fuzz. So you can really dial it in that way. But I mean the last couple albums I've done have all been with these. But you know, when you're a guitar player, you must tweak. Okay. It's like I can't help myself. So yeah, you know, it's about every my poor tech Jason knows that, you know, every day I come in and it's like, okay, where's the screwdriver and the Velcro and the super glue? And I start mixing stuff up and turning stuff around, and I can't help myself.
And what type of picks are you using now?
The picks, let's see. I've got got my picture on it. It's a Dunlop Tortex. Wow, they didn't put the Tortex logo on there. Normally these are orange. You know, if you go to the store and get an orange Tortex, it's going to feel exactly the same as this. But that's it. These are black. And they're pretty thin. It's actually a 0.60 millimeter. And pretty much every shred guitar player that I give one of these to is horrified by how thin it is. Because everybody's used to playing thick picks, as I was too for decades. But these are so much better for pick scratches.
Oh, yeah.
And I just got used to using it for the fast stuff, even though it's a little trickier. It's worth it because what you might lose in super, super fast ease, you gain in just thwappy tone. Mm-hmm. And when I say thwap, it's like thwap, you know, it just thwaps really, off that string.
You really hear the string, yeah, the pick coming off the string.
It makes a beautiful sound that I can't live without now.
And finally, the question everybody wants to know, what type of drill are you using on this tour?
I have to get a new battery. I've worn out the battery. but in fact, I think it's being charged at the moment. This is a vintage Makita.
Is this the original?
I can't remember. You can find these on eBay for about for like $20. But the thing is with the vintage ones, when you let out on the trigger, it winds down slowly. Yeah. So that sounds really cool when you get it into the pickup. Oh, here we go. I'll demonstrate with the battery. Other way. So see, it gradually, once you let off the trigger, it's still going. But the new ones just go yip. You know, as soon as you let off, they stop dead. And it's pretty hard to let off with your finger, that little bit, you know, to go. So I really prefer the vintage ones. It's fun to prefer vintage anything, but when it comes to a drill, that's really where really where vintage pays off. And you got to have it in forward.
Forward's the key.
First, somehow it bounces off the strings, but forward it works really well. And as I've got some old picks from the last tour on the that are just glued and screwed.
Do you go through these picks often? Do these break off pretty?
They do?
Yeah.
Jason says they do. But that's it.
All right, Paul. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us.
You're welcome. No worries. Mm-hmm. Rock and roll.
This is Jason Shadrick with PremierGuitar.com.